to the 20. Needs a block. Pinball down to the 5. Roll call time. Antrell with back-to-back picks.
Manning back to throw. Steps up. Deep ball down the middle of the field. He's got Cruz. 35, 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants.
Romo drops straight back to throw. Steps up. Gets hit by Canty.
Pass intercepted by Jason Pierre-Paul. To the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Giants.
There goes Wilson again. Trying to break to the outside. Wilson cuts it back to his right. Needs a block, and Wilson's going to go. He's to the 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants. 97 yards.
Now here are your hosts, Anita Marks and Paul Dottino.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live. Anita Marks, Paul Dottino, we apologize for our late start. Unfortunately, we had some technical difficulties here at the Giants facility. But we are up and running with you till 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time. Then, if you've been following the show, you know the schedule on Wednesday. We have to break down at 10:30 because we have to get ready for the Tom Coughlin press conference. He will address the media at 11 a.m. You could tune into that press conference right here on Giants.com or, of course, on the MSG network. And then practice. After practice, players will be made available to the media, and those interviews will be posted a little bit later on Giants.com. And then we have our Big Blue Hit Show, which, believe it or not, today I have Josh Brown on, kicker Josh Brown, which I think is going to be interesting because you look around the league and look at the number of games that have been decided by field goal kickers. I've always wanted to ask, what is it like mentally? Like, for example, did you see the Justin Tucker?
Oh, wow, Ravens, 61 yards.
Ravens.
To beat the Lions.
Detroit game?
Who are not going to be very happy with the Giants coming in this weekend. I just thought I'd throw that in.
Who are not going to be very happy?
No, the Lions.
What do you mean?
Well, the Lions have now lost 4 out of 5, and they're in a little bit of a mess in terms of their playoff picture.
Right.
So I'm sure that that's a pretty angry bunch.
Oh, okay.
You don't think?
Yeah, but if there was a few select teams in the NFL that I had to play in Week 16, Paul, it would be the Giants.
Oh, yeah. I was looking at it from Detroit's perspective. They got to be pretty ticked off right now.
Yes, but I think they'd be welcoming the Giants in because...
Yeah, they're after last week,
yeah.
For sure.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Just wanted to clarify. 201-939-4513 is the phone number. 201-939-4513. Anita Marks, Paul Dottino, and as always, you, Big Blue Nation. I know that it's got to be very disappointing. Paul, this is your first and my opportunity to, as always on Wednesday, to talk about the game. You were there. Obviously extremely disappointed, and the players are very disappointed. I haven't seen this locker room, the Giants locker room, this sad, this frustrated, this angry, this embarrassed all season long. And rightfully so. I get it. Even though, yes, you know what? It's the Seattle Seahawks. And they're playing for something. Not only that they've already clinched a playoff berth, but they want the road to the Super Bowl to go through Seattle. So they were obviously came in here and they were playing for a lot more than what the Giants were playing for. But, you know, obviously just a very embarrassing performance by the Giants on Sunday.
Well, you know, 16-0 after three quarters, and the game wasn't that close. Quite frankly, it looked like the Giants were getting hammered, and yet they were still only 2 scores down. And this offense just could not get on track. They couldn't run the ball. They couldn't throw the ball. They couldn't protect Eli. They couldn't catch the ball. It was just a litany of errors. And the defense did everything it could to keep the Giants alive. And I still think at 16-0, you know, you have to say, well, you're not out of it. You're not dead in the water. You know, 2 possessions in the fourth quarter could get you a tie ball game. But you never got the opinion watching that game that the Giants were going to crawl back into it. And that, I think, is the most disappointing thing of all.
But keep in mind, this Seattle team, this isn't a team that puts a ton of points on the board. You know?
This is true.
They're just not, I mean, they pride themselves on great defense, game management. They don't turn the ball over very much. Russell Wilson, even though this is only his second year in the NFL, he's a very cerebral quarterback. He's very smart and meticulous what he does. He's a great athlete. But they don't really have a number one wide receiver. Granted, yes, they have Marshawn Lynch. But, I mean, this isn't an explosive offense. This is a team that plays sound football on all three levels, and they win, and they're physical. They're a very physical football team, and that's how they win ball games.
No doubt. thanks, though, to some of the Giants' ineptitude, the scoring drives for Seattle were 11 yards, 62 yards, 40 yards, 39 yards, and 16 yards. They didn't have to do a whole lot against this wounded and beaten up and on the decline Giants team to win. And, of course, they knew that coming in, and Pete Carroll wasn't going to take any chances. He wasn't going to gamble. He wasn't going to open up the playbook. Why should he? You know what I mean?
Thoughts on Eli? Because obviously this is Eli's worst season of his entire career, let alone that's probably one of Eli's worst games or top three worst games he's ever played. On Twitter, just taking a beating. Your thoughts on Eli this season, and I know each and every week, Paul, we talk about how he struggled because his offensive line is not giving him protection, but kind of break Eli down in what you saw in that game against Seattle. What happened?
Well, you know, when you look at the five picks, the first one you throw out is the Hail Mary at the end of the first half. I mean, any time a quarterback throws a Hail Mary, it's whoever grabs the ball. And, you know, I think the picks under the Hail Mary circumstances are always kind of unfair to give to a quarterback because he's not throwing to a spot to complete the pass. He's just throwing to an area hoping something magical happens. So while he was charged with five picks, I kind of can cut that down to four right away. Then there was another ball to Hakeem Nicks that was tipped in the corner of the end zone. Now, it wasn't a well-thrown ball, I'll give you that. But once the ball was tipped up, you know, you never know what's going to happen. And obviously that turned out to be an interception too. Eli did not play well. He played poorly, and his receivers did not fight for the ball. I think you could make an argument about that. I told the folks on NFL Network this morning, the one thing that I, you know, kind of found humorous, if I can use that word, about Eli's 25 picks is that he has yet to set the Manning interception record. Peyton threw 28 as a rookie, and so Eli's 25 is only second on the all-time single-season Manning chart. I was trying to find something to reach for, something new that hasn't been written about or talked about, and that was about the best thing I could find. Besides the fact, and actually I did come up with another number, a very interesting number, Anita, because you see, you know I've been around forever. You know I'm older than fossil fuel. And one of the things that I found is that Phil Sims, in his 1986 season, you know, had a horrible year. He threw 22 interceptions, more picks than he did touchdown passes, and yet that is basically regarded as the greatest Giants team of all time. I guess what I'm saying is this. The number of picks isn't truly as much an issue as how they've been thrown, how poorly he's played, the fact that the Giants had no running game, the fact that they were down all the time, the fact that they haven't kept climbing uphill, the fact that they've got no special teams. When you combine the 25 picks with everything else that was wrong on this team, you get a losing record, and you get a bad football team. But again, isn't it ironic? Sims threw 22 picks in 86, and that's regarded as the greatest Giants team that ever played. It's all about what also happens around you. It's not just the number of picks that makes the difference. Anyway, I just thought I would throw that at you because I vividly remember Phil Sims getting booed off this field because of the picks he was throwing and the fumbles that he was giving up getting crushed in the pocket. Once his offensive line got better, of course, he became a very good quarterback.
But also, I mean, you know, a lot of it, I think you have to go back and see, you know, where were those picks thrown? Were they thrown in the red zone? Were they thrown? So what type of field position are you giving your opponent?
Yeah, I'd have to go back and study all of that with Phil.
I mean, so I don't think, you know,
there are a lot of Elis that have been in the Giants' own territory,
exactly,
which have been dreadful.
What's the latest with Victor Cruz? I know that he took a pretty nasty hit, knee and
concussion.
And concussion.
Yeah.
So do you think they're going to shut him down for the remainder of the season?
If it were my guess, Anita, I would say he doesn't play this weekend and that they see what they can do about getting him ready for Washington in the finale. You know, Victor's got 998 yards. He'd like to eclipse 1,000 for three straight seasons. I get that. But the Giants are so conservative with their medical staff, I wouldn't be surprised if they force him to sit out this week and then say, hey, Victor, let's target the Redskins. Let's see if you're cleared for that game. And if you are, we'll let you play then. But I suspect he's not going to play against Detroit.
So then who steps up? then if let's say, hypothetically speaking, Victor Cruz is inactive, who do you think gets those reps this week in practice?
The other day they gave them to Jarrell Jernigan. Cruz got hurt near the end of the third quarter. Jernigan took his spot and wound up catching 5 of his 7 passes in the game after he came in to replace Cruz. My guess is he winds up playing that spot. You know, he'll be the slot guy. He'll be the speed guy. You know, because Reuben Randle certainly isn't that type of receiver.
Again, 201-939-4513. Also, all things social media. Paul will be monitoring social media throughout the show. You can find us at Giants. Make sure you include that hashtag Giants Chat for any questions or comments, and we will share them on the show. Again, the Giants unfortunately lose to Seattle, so they spend this week getting ready to head to Detroit to take on a Detroit Lions team that just lost to the Baltimore Ravens, and that NFC North division is getting pretty competitive. It's still no decisions yet. There's talk that Aaron Rodgers is going to come back this week. You saw what Jay Cutler was able to do with his return to the helm. So a very competitive division, a must-win for the Detroit Lions going into this week. And then, of course, they finish off with the Washington Redskins. So you anticipate Jarrell Jernigan.
You know, I don't know if Jernigan's going to start necessarily, but he'll be in the 3-wide set in the slot, I'm sure. I mean, that was one of the things they thought he could do when they drafted him out of Troy. And let's face it, he's been here 3 years. I mean, if you can't put him in there now, you know, there's no sense in him even dressing at this point. So he's going to have to play some, and I would think that's going to be the spot for him. Something I wanted to mention. I was doing my study last night, and, you know, it's really wild. You look at this Detroit team, and, you know, being a fantasy football person that you are, you know that the Lions are 29th in the NFL in turnover ratio at minus 13, right down near the bottom with the Giants. And they've been dreadful. 31 turnovers, second in the league to the Giants. 14 lost fumbles, 4 by Stafford, 3 apiece by Bush and Bell. This is a mistake-prone team, yet they've been able to achieve a 7-7 record despite losing 4 of their last 5. And they still are alive in the hunt for a playoff spot, although they're going to need some help now because of the recent slide. But I don't know. What's the over-under on turnovers on Sunday's game? Because these teams are going to be handling the football like it's greased with butter.
Curious to get your thoughts on Mathias Kiwanuka's comments. I guess he was on a radio station, and it said that that the defense is definitely disappointed in what's going on in the offense, that there is some dissension in that locker room. You know, one thing that I just want to make a note of this, and that is I covered the Ravens, as you know, for 4 years, and that was during the Kyle Bowler era. And that was a time where the Ravens won because of defense. They knew that they were not going to win on the shoulders of Kyle Bowler. In no way, shape, or form am I comparing Eli Manning to Kyle Bowler. I'm just making the comparison that sometimes each year there's one area of a team that performs better than the other. But I guess because of how poorly the offense has been performing, that the defense is somewhat frustrated. I have not gotten that sense in the locker room all season. Your thoughts on his comments?
Well, apparently he told them to ESPN Radio, and the quote is, yeah, absolutely, there's tension. And then he goes on and says, and I think this one is very interesting. He says, that becomes an issue because that can get misconstrued, and it takes a lot longer to get resolved, whereas if you go into somebody's face, you can get it settled much faster. I don't know. It just seems to me that right now you've got a team that is basically pulling its hair out, trying to get things done. And I think, and I could be wrong, Anita, and I've been wrong before, and I could be wrong again. I do believe that the friction is out of guys wanting each other to do well. I do think they're trying to spark each other. I do think they're trying to get each other going. I do think it is well-spirited. I do think it is well-intended. That's what Roll said the other day. He said, anyone who says anything about anybody in this locker room, it's not personal. What we're trying to do is get a spark going. We're trying to get the guys, whoever it is we're talking about, collectively, to get something going so we can win these final two games. This isn't about singling a guy out and telling him, oh, you stink, you're awful, you're rotten, we don't want you here, you're bad. That's not what this is about. This is about trying to get whoever is falling behind into gear so that they've got a chance to compete. I mean, to me, there is a difference in the intent there. And if that is truly the intent, as Roll expressed and as you and I seem to think by being in the locker room as much as we are, then I don't have so much of a problem with it, because as Tuck and Roll both said, it shows some guys care. If you walk around at this point not having any feelings whatsoever about this miserable season, then you really got a problem. I don't know what else to say.
You know, another thing, keep in mind, you're talking about guys that have made it to this level, the NFL, and majority of guys that are in that locker room that have made it to this level have been like just studs their entire lives, whether it was Pop Warner, they made it to college, they got scholarships, whatever the case may be. And so, you know, losing isn't something that they're used to.
You don't chew it easily. Let's put it that way.
You know?
You don't chew it easily. It's a bad, 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 bitter pill that you got to deal with when you lose like this, especially when things go so far south as they have now, three of the last 4 weeks with the Giants coming up short. And not just short, but getting plastered in San Diego and then at home to Seattle.
Looking on the defensive side of the ball, Paul, give me some negatives, give me some positives that you walked away with from that Seattle game.
Positives. I would say that Roll continues to play his butt off. I think he's had a Pro Bowl caliber season, probably the best season he's had since he's been a Giant. I thought John Beeson fought. I thought Justin Tuck fought. He had a portion of a sack. That's 3 weeks in a row now that he's gotten into that column. He's got 9 for the season. So he continues to fight and show that he's got something left. I thought that was a pretty good thing. But other than that, Marshawn Lynch was held to what, 45 yards? Once again, they did a good job on one of the premier running backs in the game. And I believe, I'd have to go back here, let me take a quick glance at my notes, if you just bear with me half a second. They actually did a great job on third downs against Seattle. What was the number? Oh, boy, I can't find it now exactly what it was. It was like 3 of 11 on third down conversions. I mean, they did a good job defensively. As you say, you know, Seattle's not the most explosive offense in the world. But I thought the Giants actually, you know, they held their own on defense. But offensively, the line was a mess. The running game was non-existent. Eli had another poor game. His receivers had a poor game. I felt bad for Victor Cruz getting clocked. I mean, he got slammed to the ground and his head smacked off the turf, and it was painful. You knew right away he was in trouble. In fact, it was right in front of the Seattle sideline, and the trainer went out there like a bolt of lightning immediately to see if Victor was okay, and I was impressed with that. I don't know that there's much more to say.
Again, 201-939-4513. I know Giants fans out there really not with a lot to say. Very disappointed, but I guess the remainder of the season, Paul, looking forward to next year. What more can you do? Let's bring in Lynn from Columbia. Lynn, welcome.
Oh, hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
How you doing?
Okay.
Yeah, good. It was good to call in and get right on. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. You know, Paul, I'm going to go back just a little further than maybe you do, and the guy whose record Eli broke with regard to interceptions, Charlie Conley, if you wanted to hear booing in the Polo Grounds in Yankee Stadium and think guys are getting booed, I mean, fans were unmerciful toward Charlie, and he was a terrific quarterback. Not the best one the Giants have ever had, but just a terrific quarterback. And, you know, they won a lot of games with Charlie. But I remember the booing as a kid of Connolly, and I'm sure if we went down to Mississippi and interviewed his wife, who is still alive living down there, she'd tell you about all the bad times in the Polo Grounds and Yankee Stadium. When I hear quotes like assuming Matthias Kiwanuka was quoted accurately, I mean, you never know these days whether they're quoted accurately. You know, people say they heard what he said on WFAN or whatever station it happened to be on. You know, this time of the season, I hear things like that as a Giants fan, and I just wish sometimes these guys would just stifle it. You start getting into speculation about what the motivation was, why did he say it, what's he trying to do, and stuff like that. You know, I want to say to Mathias, hey, on Sunday, make a play that somebody remembers when the game is over. I mean, make a play that somebody talks about with Paul Dottino the following Wednesday. You know, I mean, these guys aren't making plays. I mean, you know, the defense has done a good job, but, you know, if you look at that side of the ball, guys, there's been a lot of points scored. You know, they were. I know the field position was, you know, amazing for Seattle. And let me just, you know, give credit again to the Seattle Seahawks defensive backfield. That was just a terrific performance on Sunday. I know it's easy to say they do that every week, but I don't see it every week because I don't see the Seahawks much during the season. But that was just a terrific performance. I'm not trying to absolve Eli of anything. You know, a quote this morning from Jerry Jones, and I'd like your comment on this quote, as it relates to the Giants and Eli's situation. Jones said, given the personnel situation, given our roster situation, we've got to take chances. I mean, those defensive backs on Sunday with Seattle, they were glued to our guys, you know, our pass catchers. And if you go back to pass and you look down the field, what are you going to do, take a sack every time when somebody is glued to your receiver? I mean, you got to throw the ball down the field. I mean, you got to throw the ball. I'm not absolving. He's not having a great year. I'm not trying to absolve Eli. But, you know, given the roster situation, we're not loaded with Pro Bowl players. Given the roster situation, we got to take some chances if we're going to score. I mean, can you guys relate that to the Giants situation? Is there any sense in that?
Lynn, listen. There are so many things wrong with this offense right now. We've explained it many, many times. It started in the preseason. It was apparent then that the running game wasn't right, that the offensive line wasn't right, and Eli did not have a good preseason. Okay? It started then. And I hate to say this, but there were warning signs there. We told you about them then, and really what it comes down to is all of your worst fears were realized in that 0-6 start.
Oh, boy, yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
But the shame of it is some of this stuff was being telegraphed in August, and it might have been avoided had they fortified a couple of spots along that roster, and they just need to make those decisions now. I mean, this year is gone.
Yeah.
It's lost. But correct the wrongs. They've got the offseason to do it.
Yeah. You know, all the talk about, effort and emotion, you know, I'll take talent over all of that, Paul. You know, we've got some guys who have to be replaced, or it's not going to get any better. Now, I'm not the only one that thinks that way. I think the smart people with the Giants, and I mean, those are smart people. People running these pro football teams, I mean, they know what they're doing. Sometimes it doesn't work out, but these folks know what they're doing. We got to get better players in here. It starts with the draft. It starts with free agency. You know, the first three picks last year, you know, Pugh, I don't want to say he's, going to be a Pro Bowler or a Hall of Famer. He's going to be a solid player for a lot of years, either at tackle or at guard. Hankins is going to be a stud. And the more I see Moore, and I see the way he attacks that line of scrimmage, the way he comes off that ball, I like that brand of football. I mean, those are three good picks going forward. And, if we can have another good draft, I say, and then I'll let you go. You're probably keeping me on more than I should be on here. But let me say one last thing. And I know I'm probably going to get killed on Twitter for this. The two best things we got going forward, guys, from my standpoint, is one, we got Eli at quarterback. It's going to turn around. You can't have the 10 years like he's had and all of a sudden something and say his career is over. Right? So for me, Eli going forward, and we're in the NFC East. And with some solid decisions, bringing in some new blood, some new players, I mean, I think it's going to turn around. I think it's going to turn around quick.
Len, I want to leave you with one thing, okay? I agree with you about Eli. He's 32 years old. He's not done. He should have four or five winning seasons left in him,
provided
the Giants surround him with the proper pieces.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah.
Here's what I want to add to that. No matter what anybody says about guys not having a spark, not having a passion, not having the energy, not having the proper habits, he's never going to come up in that conversation. He is a workaholic. He is a filmaholic. He is a technique-aholic. He is a pro's pro. And you know he will never slack off one iota when it comes to trying to fix this team.
Okay? Oh, I think we're in good hands.
And that should give you some belief right there, because he's not going to stop until he rights himself.
Yeah.
And it's going to take a whole offseason to do.
Oh, I think so. I think so, too. Hey, listen, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you, Len.
All right, guys. Take care. Bye.
I hear what you're saying, and I hear what Len is saying. You all right?
Yeah, headset's bad.
Okay.
Just changing headsets.
I hear what you're saying, and I hear what Len is saying. But Eli can't do this on his own, Paul.
No.
He cannot. I mean, this organization needs to address the offensive line. And unless they do that, on top of that, this organization needs to bring in another running back that understands blitz packages, another running back who knows how to pass protect in the backfield. Eli Manning will not have success with David Wilson back there. He won't.
I'm with you.
You know, unless you change the offense.
Not going to happen.
And I don't believe that Eli Manning would have success in an offense that David Wilson would have success as a featured back. Let me make that perfectly clear. I think David Wilson is an absolute stud. David Wilson is a Darren Sproles type running back in this offense. David Wilson is a LeSean McCoy running back in Chip Kelly's offense. It's different. I could see, and tell me if you think I'm wrong, please. I can see David Wilson being a featured back in Philadelphia. I can see David Wilson being a featured back in Washington. I could see David Wilson I'm trying to go around and
you're thinking New Orleans, you're thinking San Diego.
I don't think he could be a featured back in New Orleans.
No,
I think they would use him like they use Sproles.
Okay. Look, here's the one thing that is just unequivocally obvious. The Giants need at least two starting offensive linemen next year. At least two. Three may be much. I don't know if you can make three changes along the offensive line in 1 year and expect to get the chemistry going to win right away. But you could certainly change two. And that's got to happen. Okay? We've been screaming about this for a long time. It's got to happen. You've thrown the name Ben Tate at me about running backs. I do think he would be a good fit. I'd be all for that. You know, the thing with Andre Brown, he's an unrestricted free agent at the end of the year. Drew Rosenhaus is his agent, and I've been told that Drew may try to get him some money somewhere.
I'm sure.
And so there's a chance Andre Brown's not going to be back. So the Giants may have to go get somebody. I do like your suggestion. I think Ben Tate's a good fit. But we don't make those calls, do we?
Also, have to look and see what are other teams going to shell out to Ben Tate, and what's the cap situation heading into next season, Paul?
Well, they're going to be pretty good, as I understand it. Plus, you have a bunch of guys who are kind of in limbo right now as to what their futures are going to be. You know, you got injured players like David Boss, who may or may not be back. I would tend to think he won't be, because there's not enough value there based on his injury history and his price tag. So that would free up some money. I think Eli's going to redo his deal, so that's going to free up some money. From what I've been told, the Giants' cap situation is actually not bad next year. But, again, there are going to be some other things that they're going to have to tinker with before they actually get to free agency that will either help the cap and or cloud it just a bit. Because, you know, they may be able to restructure some guys too, in addition to, I think Antrell Roll's another guy who they could probably extend him a year and restructure him, and I think he would do that. I think he wants to be here. They got to re-sign guys like Stevie Brown, who I know wants to come back and is very willing to do a reasonable deal to be a Giant again. So the number's going to be affected. I'm not going to give you a number now because, honestly, it's very inaccurate as we talk about it now. It's very fluid. But I do understand they're going to have a decent number, which is good. You know, it's good. It should be enough that they can get somebody. They could probably make one big free agent purchase in addition to getting the rest of the guys that they want back in-house.
Okay. So, hypothetically speaking, this organization loses Hakeem Nicks. What's more vital for the success going into next season? Going out and landing a big offensive line signing, a wide receiver, or a running back?
Well, see, you're talking to the wrong guy because I'm going to tell you O-line every time. I can't help it. That's just me.
Yeah, but can you see Jerry? Can you see Jerry doing that? Can you see Jerry?
He's got to. If he doesn't, you may have a mutiny here. I mean, this is a...
That's a strong word, Paul.
This is an organization that I think really understands, as if there was a bucket of ice thrown in its face, that they need to fortify that offensive line. You can only whistle past the graveyard for so long before the goblins rise up and get you. Guess what? The goblins, they came out of the grave this year, and they bit this team in the ass.
201-939-4513 is the phone number. You want to get in. Also, if you want to check out social media, hashtag Giants Chat, at Giants. With you for another 15 minutes, and then, of course, interested to hear what head coach Tom Coughlin has to say. Your thoughts on how you think he's been handling this, Paul?
Well, look, Anita, you have to understand, A, the 6-game losing streak to start the season was incredibly painful for him, but then on top of that, he has the personal tragedy when he lost his brother a couple of weeks in. I really cannot imagine the type of pain, stress, and hell, quite frankly, Tom Coughlin has gone through this season. I've talked to people close to him. He has endured a tremendous amount. It's almost like a bus ran over him 5 times. And yet he has tried to stay energetic. He has tried to stay positive. He has done everything he can to prepare this team each and every week. Actually got them into that decent run where they, you know, came back and won 4 in a row to somewhat make a season out of it. And now it's just going in the other direction again. So I'm going to give him thumbs up. I can't grade him any other way. I think he's done everything he can, given the obstacles that have faced him and the landmines that have been in his path, to do a respectable job. And quite frankly, even with Matthias Kiwanuka's comments about the offense, you still don't hear anybody, even under the table, talking badly about Tom Coughlin, do you? Nobody.
No, you don't. So you're not worried about him not returning next season?
I'm really not, unless for some reason his family says, Tom, you got to shut it down. We're done with this. It's enough. And for your own good and for your family's sake, we want you to stop. I think they'll have to probably tie a couple of ropes around his ankles and drag him out of the building to do that. But that's the only way I see Tom Coughlin stopping.
201-939-4513. We head to North Carolina. Charles, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. first of all, where does Kiwanuka get off talking about anybody? That dude has had a terrible year, and he's a non-factor. I don't want to hear those kind of comments coming out of his mouth at all. That's first. That dude is terrible. He shouldn't even be on his team. Secondly, you know, I think we got to put a lot of the blame on Darren Reeves in itself. He made a lot of miscalculations on this team this year. Corey Webster was one, which I've been saying since last year. I think the guy on the show with you today said Corey Webster was going to have a bounce back year. Wrong answer. I knew he was. He's done. Kiwanuka was another bad signing. Beatty and Booth were bad. And I think the whole linebacker core was miscalculated. I think those type of signings and salary cap being taken up was probably had a lot to do with why we where we are today. It's personnel. And then you got to blame Gilbride. You know, both of those coordinators really didn't do a good job this year. But Beason, but John Beason coming, and, you know, he had a large influence on the way that defense was being ran. And I think that's why you've seen a change in the defensive philosophy and thinking. You know, John Beason had a lot to do with that. But, you know, it's time for some new ideals, some new philosophy. And we'll see where it goes. But I think a large part is Jerry Reed. Just miscalculations on that roster.
Well, you're right about Corey Webster. I was wrong. You know what's going to happen when you do something for 31 years, you don't get everything right. And Corey Webster turned out to be a big dud this year. No question about that. Mathias Kiwanuka's production is nothing like what the Giants thought it would be when they moved him back to defensive end. That's been a horrible disappointment. You know, beyond that, John Beason's a talented player. And I don't necessarily know that he's changed the defense as much as his leadership, the intangibles, the talent, and the speed and the hitting that he brings to the defense are part of what made this thing, you know, improve. To say that he changed it, I don't know that he changed the scheme at all, but certainly he had an impact on it. So I'll agree with you on that. And I think, you know, I mean, what else can you say? Okay?
I mean, at the end of the day, what else can you say at this point, man? As far as Eli, I read an article this morning about Eli's replacement. I think he's or should we look for a replacement? I think they're already on the team, man. I mean, I see Eli playing maybe another 2 or 3 years. And, you know, let that rookie man learn, get better. And I think when Eli's ready to step away, man, that guy will have a great opportunity to come in and keep us on track and keep us going. I think he already on the team, man. I don't think we need to go out of our way to try to find Eli's replacement. I just don't see that, man. But at any rate, I think we got some moves we can make to really, turn this thing around. And I don't think we're rebuilding at this point. I just think we need to, cut ties with some of these dead weight players and, reboot. Get the reboot button, man, and come in next year, have a good draft. Try to bring in some free agents. Do we know what the cap's going to be, or do we have an estimate with the cap's?
They think it's pretty much going to be the same. They don't think it's going to change much at all.
As far as what we have available?
Well, again, that number's fluid. To quote that number now would be foolish because you're talking about 27 unrestricted free agents, I believe, is the number. Plus, you got guys they're going to cut, guys they're going to restructure. To talk about that number now makes no sense at all.
Yeah,
all you need to know is that they should have a decent amount of money. They're not going to be strapped and up against it like they were this past year. That much I can tell you. Okay?
Let me ask you this question, because this is my last one. I've been confused. Now, I know John Beason signed a multi-year deal with Carolina.
No, he's done. He's done. He redid it. They restructured his deal in August. He's an unrestricted free agent at the end of the season. He wants to come back. I believe they want him back. They just got to make the numbers work.
If not franchise, hey, he's worth a franchise tag, man. I can honestly say that. But, hey, have a good day. Appreciate it.
Thanks for the call.
Thoughts on his questions? Do you feel that his kind of his mindset, where he is in his views of the Giants, is typically what you're seeing with Giants fans? Because I know you reply to a lot more Giants fans on Twitter than I do.
Well, let's just say this, Anita. I have seen more people who want to hang Eli Manning, Tom Coughlin, Kevin Gilbride, and Perry Fuel than I care to calculate. And, if you want to talk about all the things that are wrong with this team, no one's had a great year. But those are not the kinds of guys who I'd want to excommunicate, so to speak. Those are the guys I'd want to be here to fix this thing. And my biggest problem with much of the Twitter stuff that I get is that there are angry, knee-jerk reactions who just want to go right after those guys because they're at the top. And I just I don't see the logic in that. Eli Manning's 32 years old. He still has some very good years left in him. I think the collateral damage can be repaired. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But I know many quarterbacks in this game have gone to the Pro Bowl in their late 30s. So I don't think he's done. And I know his work ethic is second to none. And so, you know, to think that he's lost his passion or his mentality for the game would be foolish. If that were the case, then I'd tell you to get rid of him. But that's not the case.
All right, looking forward to this week. Again, the Giants get ready to take on Detroit. They head out to Detroit on Saturday. What's the mindset? What's the mindset in this locker room this week, Paul?
Well, we're going to find out a lot more today because Monday it was a pretty sparse locker room. Only a handful of guys spoke to the media. The captains, of course, Eli, Justin Tuck, and Antrell Roll were all in there, and they all addressed what was another horrifying loss and then responded by saying, we are a team. We're going to stick together. We're going to, you know, we're going to fight for Tom. We're going to try to do everything we can to win these final two games. I mean, I believe them when they say that. However, they can't speak for every other guy in that room. And that's where the problem is right now. Because, as Justin Tuck said, actions speak louder than words. And we won't know how many guys are truly going to put out on each and every play to do their best to give this team a chance to win on Sunday in a hostile Detroit environment, knowing that the Lions desperately need to win this game. And let's face it, the Lions have some offense, okay? This Megatron guy's pretty good, in case you haven't seen him. Pretty good.
So you think, how do you think Perryfield plays him? You think that's going to be a matchup for Prince? Or?
Wow. That's a good question. Do you put Prince on him one-on-one, or you just say, forget about it, we'll just double him and let Prince go to the other side? That's a good question. Because you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. I mean, I still can't fathom the fact that he had a game against Dallas with 14 catches for well over 300 yards. Of course, Dallas popped off at him and said he wasn't going to do what he was going to do. And and Des Bryant popped off and said he was as good as Megatron. So what does Megatron go out and do? He goes, okay, I'm going to teach you guys a lesson. I'll show you just how good I am. And he has the second greatest day in the history of NFL wide receivers. He's that good. He's that dominant. He's that unbelievably great. If I'm the Lions, I go to him all day. And why not?
Let's take one more call before we sign off. Let's go to Lewis in Manhattan. Lewis, welcome.
Good morning, Anita.
Good morning,
Paul.
Hi.
I'd like to have a very honest conversation with you. I've been a Giants fan for a very long time.
Well, I think we've been brutally honest this morning, if you don't mind me saying.
So here's my take on this. After the Super Bowl, they've been basically asleep for 2 years. Last year, the start that they had, I think you'll admit they had a pretty soft schedule, and then they fell apart. What are they going to do with Coughlin? He has 1 year left on his contract?
Yes.
Okay. So what do you do with him? If you either extend him or he leaves after this season. If you don't extend him, they're thinking about changing coordinators. Who's going to come to the club if he's got 1 year left on his contract?
Was that the question? Was that your question?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I would say you have guys out of work like Romeo Crennel, and you have guys who are in consultant roles like Steve Spagnuolo, who probably would love to come back to the Giants organization in some capacity if given the chance. Now, again, you're asking me a hypothetical. Who would come back here if given the opportunity? Those are some available guys who have resumes in this league who also have Giants resumes to their credit. I'm not telling you I'd hire them, and I'm not telling you I'd go out and I'd fire anybody. You just asked me who's available and who hypothetically might be willing to take the job. Those are a couple of names right there.
You guys are close to the club. Do you expect the staff to be back next season?
I expect at least most of them.
Okay, and they're going to come back.
I do think there'll be probably a couple of
working on them.
I do think there'll be a couple of changes. I think that Tom is going to get another year extension. Maybe even sign a 2-year extension. I think Tom Coughlin's going to coach at least 2 more years. Okay?
Well, if he gets an extension, then he's going to be able to change his personnel and his staff.
Absolutely.
He's going to be able to do that.
He's not going to walk away easily after this.
Lewis, let me say this really quick, okay? And maybe it's not so quick, but let me just say this. The problem here is the disconnect between the players that are being drafted and implemented into a system. I'm not going to sit here and point the finger at Gilbride. This is a guy who, in his offense, with Eli Manning, with a solid offensive line, and a running back who understands pass protection, won two Super Bowls. So you understand what Gilbride and what this offense is working with this season. Understand who they lost and who did not, and they were not replaced. So I'm not going to say, I don't think it's fair, and I know life's not fair, but I don't think it's fair to sit here and say Gilbride needs to go. Well,
I'm not saying that. I was just asking the question about who would be attracted to the team based on what their deals are. I agree with what Paul just said. If Coughlin's extended even 1 year, then he has the flexibility of trying to bring some other people in here.
You know, but I don't – go ahead. Here's what I want to say. I want to add one other item here, and I'm not trying to debate you or confuse your question, but if I can piggyback on what Anita just said, Kevin Gilbride's been the Giants' offensive coordinator for 7 years, okay? They're going to finish near the bottom this year. Do you know in the other 6 years that he has been the Giants' OC, they have finished no worse than 14th, and in five of those years, they finished in the top 10. And in two of those years, they won the Super Bowl. Now, if I didn't tell you who that was and just gave you those stats, you'd probably want that guy on your team, wouldn't you?
Yeah, and I'm not disagreeing with you. I mean, I'm based on what Anita was just saying, you know, players win games. You need players, and they obviously don't have enough good players. But the truth is, they really haven't had enough good players for a couple of years. They fell apart last year, and this year is this year, right? We all know they need different players. Players win games.
I'm not going to argue with you.
That's all I got to say.
The draft has not been very good as of late, and it's coming home to roost.
Thanks. Thank you for taking my call.
It's going to be a fun week and a half.
Any questions or comments on Twitter before we sign off?
Let's see. Real Andrew Meyer says, would think he wants his 2 yards, or I guess he's talking about Tom, probably 2 years at the least if he's healthy enough to line up. I don't know if he's talking about Tom or somebody else. I'm not really sure. Stelly 46 says, no one on the Giants can pick up SHU and throw him back? SHU? I don't know who that is. Some interesting ones here for sure. Let's see. Johnny Hedden, JP Hedden 12 says, new offensive coordinator is mandatory. Sorry. Basically, those are the ones that I'm getting on my Twitter right now and Giants chat. We probably got a few more of those there. Bottom line, this is a 2-year fix at best, says NFL NYG 43. This week is 30-13, just like last year's Baltimore game and after a bad loss in Atlanta last year. John Killian says, Anita, David Wilson's playing days are over. His medical condition with his neck has ended many a career. Vic Fontana, NFL NYG 43, says, many Giants are in the running for the Casper Invisible Award. Kiwi, Myers, Manning. The big winner is Brewer. Horrible year. And then finally, I'll give you Marwan NY77, says an extension makes all the sense in the world in Eli's case. People who say otherwise don't understand how the cap works.
Well, it's been an interesting day. Not a good way to start your day. And I understand. I understand Giants fans out there, very negative, very frustrated, very disappointing in regard to the season. So, but I'm someone who always looks at the glass half full. And I like to look forward to maybe what's to come, how this team could possibly get better via the draft or free agency. I saw a graphic up where right now, if the season was to end today, Paul, where would the Giants draft? What draft number would they be?
Before last weekend, they would have been 12. I don't know where they've shifted to.
Yeah,
today.
I don't think they're top 10. I don't think they're in the top 10 yet.
Okay, so. You're going to be able to get a stud lineman anywhere in the 10 to 15 range. Let's assume that's where they're going to land. Okay, there's only 2 games left, so I don't know they're going to move that much either way. Tiny Richardson's a guy I've been talking about. He'll be there in that range, I'm pretty sure. If they don't address that, it's going to be another long year.
One quick note. Did you see Kirk Cousins play for Washington this past week?
I did not watch the Redskins at all.
Well, he looked real good.
Did he?
Yeah. And so, you know, he's playing his butt off right now. And this team is kind of rallying behind him. I think that makes that Week 17 game against Washington pretty interesting.
We should probably just briefly list the practice report because, wow, it just grew. Brewer ankle, Cruz knee concussion, Deal knee, Hillis concussion, Jenkins shin quad, Jernigan knee, McBride groin, JPP shoulder, Taylor hamstring, Terrell Thomas knee. And me, I got a headache.
All right, folks. Thanks again for tuning in. For those who did, for those who did not, I totally understand. We are back with you tomorrow, same time, 9:30 a.m. Eastern Time, talking Big Blue. And as they get ready to head to the Motor City to take on the Detroit Lions this coming Sunday, that game time is at 4 o'clock. Have a good day, everybody.